Hey, it's episode 50 of the Jock and Nerd Podcast. Can you believe that? We made it to 50. This show is a tribute to the last of the old school comic shops, specifically Chicago's longest running comic book shop, Variety Comics. We're going to meet the staff and customers of this awesome geek community in the north side of Chicago. Let's check it out.
It's the Jock and Nerd Podcast with your hosts, Anthony and Imran.
Jock and Nerd, welcome to this episode of the Jock and Nerd Podcast, friend. My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
He's the nerd.
Thank you for pressing play and joining us on this very special episode 50. Anthony, can you believe that? We made it to 50 episodes.
Unbelievable. Imagine starting in March, basically getting this up and running in 2 weeks, and now we are at 50 episodes.
We're 7.5 months in, 50 episodes. That's
terrific.
That's what that is. It's and it's been quite a ride, dude. What do you think? What do you think about our journey so far? These past 50 episodes, it's been crazy.
I want to say I see high cholesterol and diabetes in our future, but.
What, were we eating donuts while we were doing these shows?
No, we're just not healthy anymore. Like you start out like really young and vibrant and going to the gym, and then at 50, like, eh, fuck, who cares?
Oh, I get the analogy now. This is, you know, but 50 is the new 40, so it's when you start to get back into shape. And this episode is no different. But yeah, man, we were just talking about TV shows only just 7.5 months ago.
I know.
And now if you scroll through like the episode list and look at all the guests and the crazy topics, everything ranging from Godzilla to UFC to filmmaking and the creative process, and then all the movie reviews, like it's been so much fun.
Yeah, I was just going to echo those thoughts too. We originally were just going to do weekly TV show reviews. Then the TV show shows ended and we were like, what the fuck are we going to do?
What do we do now?
And now it's like we have to like hold back episodes and hold back guests because we have so much lined up and so many ideas and the people we've met. I mean, it's been insane.
Yeah,
who would have thought podcasting would get this?
It's the power of the podcast, folk.
Talking nerd.
But yeah, we've met awesome people.
You forgot to mention we've done live shows. We've had a Felty friend on our show.
Yeah, now we're getting into live shows on Blab. Listener, definitely check it out. And this show, 50, everything kind of worked out to make this show special. Now, as a special message to our, you know, longtime listeners, regular listeners, and first-time listeners, this is a completely different show than any of the other shows.
Yeah. It's so fucking different.
It's completely different from all the other 49 shows. And I mean, we've had a puppet on a show, and yet this show, I wanted it to stand apart. And the pieces kind of fell into place to make episode 50 really special.
Yes. This was kind of your pet project. You kind of called it like an NPR radio.
It was, this is something I really wanted to do from the heart. Basically, listener, what happened was maybe about a month or two ago, I saw this article online about this local comic book store, Variety Comics. It's actually right down the street from here.
This is in Chicago, by the way.
North side of Chicago, Lincoln Square. And this store was closing after being open for 41 years. This is the longest running comic shop in Chicago. And it meant a lot to me only because I remember seeing this store my whole life. Because outside the store, it's on the first floor. There's no windows. There's large wood panel illustrations of superheroes on the corner of Western and Wilson. My whole life, I remember seeing Superman, Batman, Spawn, Wolverine, really cool illustrations. And you'd always would look for it. You knew it was coming. And, you know, I didn't really go there that much. Maybe I should have gone there more. I don't think my money would have helped them stay open. But I went back there when I heard they were closing just to check out what they had. And I realized, I was like, man, I really want to preserve. This is the last of a dying breed. This is the last of the old school comic book shop. And I kind of wanted to just preserve some of the story and the memories for the guys of Variety and just for our listeners and for myself. So I arranged it for us to go hang out one day and record some audio. And I didn't know what was going to happen, what I was going to get. But what I think I got, I think it worked out well. And it worked out for the 50th episode.
Exactly. No, and I ended up listening to this back. It's very good. So make sure, listener, that you stay through it. Imran kind of narrates a little bit and takes you on a little journey of getting to know the customers and the owners and the story of Variety Comics. Just walking in there, I'd never walked in there myself until we did that, record some of the audio, and it's like walking into a time warp. It's just
right?
comics what? For a comic book store for comic book store's sake. There's no extra. I mean, there's some toys and there's some other stuff, but it's just old school comics. I mean, just comics everywhere, long boxes everywhere, all different variations of comics. It's just, it's not like our local store in
right?
Niles.
It's not like time. All the stores now. Like, listener, this is a no frills shop. There's no toys, no t-shirts, no games, just old, awesome back issues, new comics. And the store hasn't changed in 40 years. A little bit of history going into this that you may need to know is longtime owner Rick Vitone ran the store for over 30 years. The store opened in 1974. Rick passed away in 2009, and friends and people who came to the store and customers who became friends took over his legacy and kept the store going. And I really wanted to meet these guys and hear their story and share their stories. So, you know, this is just a very special episode for me, Anthony. Like, we've never done anything like this.
No.
So going into this, guys, you're going to – you know, I'm not a reporter. I have a new respect for, like, holding a mic in someone's face because this whole thing was crazy. I brought all this stuff, and I ended up just using my recorder, headphones, and one microphone. And, you know, it's like recorders got to stick mics in people's faces. That's very intimidating, dude. You feel like a real jerk sometimes. I'm like, is this too close? So I have a new respect for reporters. So some of the audio is, like, me forgetting to switch back and forth between me and who I'm interviewing. Yeah. But, you know – the less of me, the better. You don't need to hear me. You can hear 49 episodes of me. I wanted to hear these guys, and their audio is great. So, man, the first time you shove a mic in someone's face, you really don't know what it's like. It's crazy.
I just want to echo that, too, because I didn't know what to expect. I thought we were going to have our normal table set up, me and Imran sitting down, a guest with us, and not like that at all. Imran is like straight, April O'Neil reporter.
I'm the roving man on the street. But you're right, Anthony. Like, this is why I love that this is episode 50, because we're just trying something new. This is not a controlled recording situation like I was used to and maybe I was expecting, but it was great learning this and kind of improvising and just going with the flow and then figuring out the story and cutting it all together. Man, this really – I mean, that word, everyone says passion project, blah, blah, blah. This really was. Like, I just really wanted to get the story out, and I don't know. I'm quite proud of it. So I think we should just have everyone check it out.
I think so, and I also want to say I think you learned a lot from doing this, and I think you realize – I don't know if you want to do this all the time. So maybe very special shows will do something like
that. Every 50 episodes. Also, listener, we're going to refer to a lot of things, and you can check out photos of the stuff we talk about in the show notes at jockandnerd.com/50. There's going to be a lot of great new photos and old photos of the store. And we talk about this old rotary phone they have and a couple of signs. All the pictures are in there. Definitely visit the website for the multimedia experience of the closing of Variety Comics, Chicago's longest-running comic book shop. We came down to Variety Comics on a Sunday afternoon. I had Anthony meet me there, and I hung out for the day to meet customers and staff, and right away, we started geeking out with co-owner Vic Alvarez. Vic is a Northsider, blue-collar, old-school comic book geek, just like the nerd, proudly wearing his Chicago Cubs T-shirt that day. This is Anthony. He's the jock. I'm the nerd. See, that's him. You can tell by his drawing. Yes. Thank you for that. She got me. I was in the article. She linked to our website. Yeah, that was great.
We have one. I gotta make sure she didn't forget it.
No, I appreciate that, Kristen Talmitz. Yeah, and so that was a good local press. Is great. And
well, I don't even know. A customer came in and told me that I guess Fox came, but we were closed, and they did a live
from the outside.
I
figured you get a lot of news, local news guys showing up.
I remember seeing those pictures and stuff on the walls when I was a little kid driving by, and I was like, that's so cool, but I didn't know what a comic book store was. Yeah. I was like, that's cool. Why'd they paint Spider-Man on a wall? That's awesome.
There have been a lot of customers that haven't been here in years come back to buy equipment and they want to see it. Thing.
Vic, what's going to happen to those pieces outside?
Oh, most of them are sold already. You know, like two are sold. The rest of them are people are caught. First dibs, whoever wants them. We've got to pay. We're going to sell them for a fair price.
That's good. You can sell them for a lot, man. You should sell them. They're one of a kind.
Yeah, the artist was here. He's going to come. Maybe you'll sign them.
How many times have those been changed over the 41 years?
Rick had twice, the old owner. Yeah. And then when we bought it, we changed it because they were fading away. Because the sun hits it constantly. And we painted car clear on it, and it still wasn't strong enough.
Wow, really?
So you can see it, like the hot weather, and then the cold weather. And then up here, they got the air conditioners going, and the water drops on it.
Are they like panels? That you... They're wood?
They're wood. Yeah. They'll bolt out, drilled out.
So only four times in the history of the store, technically.
I think behind it are the old one, the second old one.
Oh, my God. This is like a...
The second one had Batman and Robin on the Batmobile, the old Batmobile with the bat head on the front.
I remember that.
That one should still be there. A Spawn should still be there. God, I don't remember.
This is like when you restore classic Renaissance paintings and you peel it back and you're like, hey, there's another painting behind here and you didn't know.
No, because we didn't know. Those were like... They were like a special rivet head, so we couldn't get them out.
Oh, my God. They're bolted. I hope they leave. I wish they...
They're not bolted out. It's like a special...
You have to cut it off.
Yeah.
I wish they would just leave them up.
Well, who knows?
What's happening to the building?
I have no idea. We don't know. I know with that, they've been pretty, very, very good to us. And then they understand we have to clean out, so give it a couple extra days, too. I'm kind of... Sad. Everybody's kind of sad to see it go, but...
When was the first time you came in here? What year was that?
Oh, God, I think I was in eighth grade, so it's got to be 83, 80, 84.
Wow. And has it changed much?
It used to be half. It used to be like where that... This was the wall. And this used to be a beauty parlor.
Oh, it was only on that side?
Yeah.
And this was a beauty parlor?
Yeah. And you see where the glass is?
Yeah.
Move it up a little bit. And he had like a little stand that goes up like this, and he used to sit in the chair. One of those like bar stools.
Yeah.
And it used to be that way.
What year did he expand over here?
I think in the 90s, when the lady passed away and you were able to move in over here.
So has that area changed much since you first walked in here?
No, not really.
Wow. I mean, you can tell, like, I love, like, you can tell this place just has been the same, and you feel it, you know?
Other than that part, we didn't find anything back there, anything. But, you know, we found stuff. You know, we went in there, we found all these Marvel treasure. Look at tons of them back there.
And they're in great shape. These, I'm looking at large, oversized Howard the Duck, Star Wars. I have the Superman versus Spider-Man oversized. I bought it. I love that one. I've always wanted that when I was a kid.
I found the Ali versus Superman. I grabbed it. So when I go to convention, if I meet Neil Adams, I'm going to have him sign.
That is a great one. And it's such a rare find, dude. You don't see that anywhere.
I found that when I grabbed it. I'm thinking this one. Because he usually does a lot of shows.
Neil Adams? Yeah.
Yeah, he does shows. So.
I'd love to get him on the podcast, Neil. If you're listening, call us.
Yeah, he seems like a pretty good guy. Yeah. I don't know. He seems like most of those guys are. Even Perez seems like cool. I didn't know. I was wondering. A friend of mine, he does, wear costume comp. What do you call that thing when they get dressed up?
Oh, cosplay.
Cosplay. And he gave me an Ant-Man helmet because I work at a body shop.
Oh, nice.
So I painted it and I put clear on it.
Oh, okay.
And so it was like awesome, shiny.
So it's like a legit helmet.
Yeah, it was shit. And so he was at the con, and then Perez snuck up behind him, and he wanted to take a picture with him.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
He loved the costume. And I did it with the helmet, man. I did it with the helmet. And then like a year later, I did it with a Hawkman helmet. Yeah, he gave me a Hawkman helmet. I took it to work. My boss and I worked on it to make it. Because those things, if you make it shine, it actually looks...
Then it looks like movie quality.
Movie quality. So.
You could have had a side business just doing that here and selling the helmets.
I don't want to do
that. So how long have you been working here full-time then?
Well, I'm just like weekends. He's pretty much full-time.
Oh, okay.
He's the guy who runs.
How long have you been working here?
As 5 years.
Okay.
Before that, I used to help him because maybe 10 years, but it was like he was physically unable to pick up the books. So I worked in Schaumburg, so on the way drive back, I can always pick up the books for him. Brought him here and help him set up on Wednesday night.
Oh,
and then that was it. Because he physically couldn't carry the books anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So and it wasn't like out of my way. It was like on my way home. So it wasn't like I had to go make a big circle around and pick up his stuff. I just had to make a cross and stop and pick it up and go.
That's nice, though. You guys just became friends from you hanging out.
I knew him before that. I mean, we were friends before that, but that was something he asked me because he knew I was in Schaumburg, and then he gave me direction, and I did it. And then we became a pattern before he got sick.
And that was 2009?
Yeah, around there. Hold on, maybe, around 2009, mid-2008, 2009.
So he was he the original owner, Rick was?
He was the original owner. He was the first. This was his place.
And it opened in 1974.
1974.
It's amazing.
It was in 1974. And I didn't know. Well, John was one of his friends. He used to own Atlas.
Okay,
Yeah. And he'd been writing stuff, articles in there about the first books. I think Howard the Duck was on at that time when he was selling.
Oh, yeah.
So that's one of the...
Wow.
At that time, I guess that was the number one book, I guess.
It was, because it was the 70s. It was campy, and people, like, I remember Howard the Duck was popular when it first came out for some reason.
The only issue that anybody wants is the first one after that. No.
What about this oversized one? Where it's right there. Look, Howard the Duck.
There's not really. No. Well, not really. The only reason they didn't even talk about it because it wasn't a Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Yeah.
That was like an homage to a very bad first Marvel movie. Yeah.
Here's Mike Denler, an old friend of Rick's that's been helping out at the store for years and currently runs their Facebook page. Mike's got a great radio voice. So you know what I'm going to say, listener. He should have his own podcast.
I've never officially worked at Variety. I'm an old friend of Rick's, and I used to help him with the eBay after work in the evenings and just kind of mess around.
So how long, when was the first time you came into the store?
I think I was like maybe 11 years old.
Wow. What year was that? Do you remember?
Honestly, I don't know, but I do remember that the counter was towards the door, and Rick was elevated up there, and it might have been maybe 80 or 81, because I recall Byrne was doing FF around that time, and a friend of mine was really into Byrne and getting into it and bought an Iron Fist number one from Rick for $10.
Ooh, wow. That was when there was a beauty salon in half of the store.
I believe so, yes.
It started with all the back issues, right? He had a huge back issue collection. Well, how long do you think it took him to get all this stuff?
He's been collecting since he was a little kid. Rick's father used to give him money just like my father used to give us money. Like, hey, Dad, can I have some change? He's like, what do you want change for, those joke books? You know, because both our dads were, you know, like... Depression era fathers, yeah, yeah. My father's a little older, so he was a World War II vet. Wow. And so it's the same thing. Comic books were joke books back then. So, you know, you get the coins out of your dad and go buy some stuff. You know, but back when Rick was buying them, they're 10 cents, 12 cents, you know. So it was pretty cheap. You know, me, I was getting them, they started in their 15 cents.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, he was maybe 16 years older than me.
That's a good way to measure, like, the generation. Like, when I started buying, I remember it was, like, 65 cents. And I hadn't even got to a dollar, I don't think.
65 cents was outrageous. You know, back, actually, when comics went from 25 cents to 30 cents and then to 35 cents within a short period, that was outrageous. Because, you know, that's an extra dime you got to finagle for each comic out of your family. You know, I was too young. I couldn't even work. They didn't even have child labor back then. They had too many laws. You know, I had to wait till I was old enough to get a paper route before I was able to, then when I had a paper route and I was making $200 a month, boy, was I into comics. That's when I started having a full-blown collection. The thing was, there weren't a ton of collectors where they were called collectors back then, you know. I mean, a lot of people just bought stuff that was off the rack. You had Joe Sarno, who started things off. He might be, you know, technically the first guy to do it because he started as a comic book club and turned it into something more. Oh, wow. And, you know, Rick kind of bought in on a pre-established business because his friends already had started this, and within the year he bought them out. Wow. And so between Joe and Rick and Larry, was, you know, way up north there, they were the three guys that basically did it and were just selling old magazines. But back in the 70s, you had a lot of old bookstores and, you know, it was just cheap stuff. A lot of this stuff you'd pay a quarter for back then. That was, and they were making money on it.
Yeah, wow.
You know, it's 50 cents or a dollar or something for a comic book that now will sell for thousands of dollars. That's, you know, amazing. I mean, I remember back when I was maybe 9 or 10, you can get a decent copy of Amazing Spider-Man number 10 and First Enforcers in the Big Man for $10.
Wow.
Now, I could never get that $10 from my dad.
Imagine if you, but yeah, that's the thing.
That was too much money for a joke book.
A joke book. I love it.
$3 out of them, and I got a Tales to Astonish Last Giant Man before they split it with the Hulk.
Okay, yeah.
So it was Giant Man versus the Hulk, all because of the human top. Yeah, that was probably my first Silver Age Marvel.
Do you remember the first comic book you bought with ever?
Well, I'd say my dad bought it for me, and I didn't know the number at the time. It was an Archie TV Laughing.
Nice.
And I only remembered one story in it. I carried that memory throughout many, many years. I'm a big Archie fan and collector, and so is Rick.
Oh, wow.
One of the reasons we became very close is because of our mutual love for Archie artist called Harry Lucy.
Okay.
And, one time I was telling Rick about the story, and somehow we found the comic. So I now have my first Archie TV Laughing number two again.
Oh, my God. That's
nice. That was, and
Rick, what was the story?
You know, it's basically Archie having bad luck trying to go out on a date with Veronica.
That's like every Archie issue.
I'm sure it was redone quite a few times and was probably done before that, you know. I don't know. The pictures were just great. The covers were greater back then. And, you know, it wasn't a few weeks after I got that Archie that I got my first Marvels.
What was that?
Avenger 70, First Squadron, Sinister. I can't remember the Amazing Spider-Man number off the top of my head, but it was the second time he quit being Spider-Man.
No, was that 50? That was the first time.
89 or 88 or something like that. I mean, comic books back then, you could get them in a little machine. You put in 15 cents, and it would pop out at Community and Goldblatt's and Zaire.
Oh, I remember Zaire and Goldblatt's. Wait a minute, it was like a newsstand thingy?
It was just a vending machine.
Comic books were in a vending machine?
In a vending machine. Man, sometimes it would stink because you'd see a comic three down. And like, I got my Marvel team up, Hulk and Wood God. I'm like, there it is, I need it. I had to spend, you know, a couple extra quarters.
Three
to
in.
One.
Wow, I had no idea. I do remember the Goldblatt's and Zaire, but
wow. Zaire used to sell a lot of Charltons for like 10 cents and stuff. Wow. I still got a few with the stickers on it.
Wow, dude.
I'm only 49, and I started at an early age and never stopped.
And finally, we meet the guy who runs the day-to-day business, Vin Nguyen. Vin is a soft-spoken, really friendly guy. Greets everyone with a smile. He's the youngest out of the bunch at 29 and has a great origin story. Now, listener, back in Jock and Nerd episode 44, we talked to our friend Eric Garneau from Past Times Comics about the state of the retail comic book industry these days and how a comic shop really has to diversify to make ends meet. I wanted to get Vin's perspective on the industry.
Probably the highest grossing comics a month, probably like a Batman would be like 100,000, 200,000 copies.
Really?
Right. Like if you in the 90s, they're sold like millions and millions of copies.
That's what he was saying. He's like a Spider-Gwen might have hit a million. There was like Star Wars, but that's rare now. Right. So what is average? You're saying a couple hundred thousand?
Probably. That's like in the high. So, you know.
And I feel like smaller publishers, if they sell 7,000, that might be a hit for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like average store, like you said, maybe if it's like a big store, maybe 100 to 200 copies. A little store, maybe between 50 copies to like to 20 copies or something like that.
It's hard to keep a store open just selling 20 copies of a thing. So you ordering comics, what trends have you seen change? Like we asked our friend Eric, he's ordering a lot less DC because DC's not selling.
DC with the convergent stuff that recently no one likes that stuff.
They shot themselves in the foot, dude.
They hated the new 52 started out pretty good, you know.
Yes.
And like people loved, you know, the relaunch, and then it's doing well for a while, and then they start doing all these reboot and stuff like that. But the convergent makes no sense. So technically you could scrap like the last 5 months or so.
Oh my god, and the numbers show it, don't they? That's what I said. I said DC had me at new 52 and then they lost me. I was in for like a year and a half, and then slowly I started buying less and less. And then I was completely out by, I was like, what is this? Like, why are you doing this when they're already doing it in Secret Wars over here and when you're already doing Multiversity, which is also the same thing?
Well, most of the stuff now is relaunched because publishers sell most when it's number ones, because that's what people buy, you know, it's number ones.
That's annoying.
And then, number two would go down number three, but then they're relaunching again in 4 months to make that mark. You know, it's like a quota they have to make.
How many times are you going to sell a goddamn number one issue of the thing? I have four number one issues.
Spider-Gwen, you know, there's going to be two Spider-Gwen number one within the whole year because there was a Spider-Gwen. They started, I don't know what issues are on, but it's rebooting now to another Spider-Gwen. So the number one, I'm sure, going to sell a lot, you know, but then after that, it's going to go down.
So which number one is more valuable?
I don't know. Just depend on the week, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
When is the first time you came in here?
I think when I was 12.
What do you remember that first time you came in here? Huh? Why did you come in here?
I think we used to play with cars. Like, we played, me and my friends, we used to play this thing called Pokemon cars. When it first came out back in, like, 99.
Pikachu!
Yeah. So those were pretty popular for little kids back then. So we play a lot of those. And Rick had, like, a whole display counter here. So, yeah, so he's probably one of the first few that started doing that. So, plus it's right around my neighborhood, too. And then when I went to Lane up the street here, so I used to take the bus, you know, here. So that's why. And by that time, I already been here for like a couple years, so he already knew who I was, you know. So we already, you know, kind of.
You must have came here a lot as a kid, starting at 12.
That's probably spent a lot of money. That's why he liked me. He never yelled at me, so that's probably the reason why.
So that first, the very first time you came in here, what was that like?
It was good because, you know, comic books were everywhere. You know, I've never been in a comic book before, so you know, it's new because I never read a comic book before. It was like the first time I was ever in a comic book shop. So,
So how did you know the Pokemon was here?
My friend, he shopped here, then he let me know about it. So he's like, "Oh yeah, that shop, you know, with the old guy. Yeah, I have all the cards out there on the table for you. Just go in there." Yeah.
So imagine that. Like, it wasn't even comic books that got you.
No. So.
So what was the first comic? Did you buy a comic that first trip?
No, I never bought a single comic books in my life.
So. Wait, still?
Still. I bought comic
books. No, I'm saying you're reading them, but like you would just come for Pokemon.
Right, so Pokemon cards, that was when I was, and then after that, we were just working here, helping him out, you know, after school or something for a couple hours, for like maybe a couple days a week or something like that. And then, you know, it just continued all the way to, you know, you get older.
Yeah. So the reason why I love this story is because you had my dream job when if I was 14 and somebody offered me to work at a comic book store, dude, forget about it. Were your friends jealous?
I wouldn't say jealous. I mean, you know, because most of my friends, like I said, they didn't read comic books or anything. Like I said, I myself don't read. He's actually, you know, recommended books for me to read, you know.
What did he recommend? What did you start reading?
I think the first book he gave me was when, back then, he gave me like a Walking Dead or something like that. The first volume or something. When it first came out. It's not even popular back then or something like that, you know. Watchmen and stuff like that. All the popular stuff. Sandman and stuff like that. So
yeah, he's schooling you in the classics.
Right. So, you know. And as times go on, you know, it's like, oh, okay, this just came out. Let's start reading this one. You know, it's on a rack, so just sitting there, you know. So
let's read this.
Right.
As news of Variety's closing started to spread, lots of customers began posting their memories and stories to their Facebook page. There's a great blog post by a local illustrator, Scott Larson, about his memories and time at Variety Comics. Listener, I'll have a link to that in the show notes. Definitely check it out. The customers coming in that day were a mix of first-timers, long-timers, and people who were kind of reliving their youth a little. And they're coming back to check out the store for one last time. What's your name, sir?
Phil.
And where are you from?
Chicago.
And when was the first time you came in here?
I really couldn't say the first time I came in here. I mean, I can tell you the last time before now.
Okay.
I was 13 the last time I came in here. Actually, I was like in, I guess you'd call it math camp.
Okay.
In Lane Tech, and I walked down here with some people I met in math camp. So, you know, we just hit all these like local comic book stores and picked up a bunch of stuff.
Has the store changed at all since that, when you last came in here?
Yeah, I'd say it definitely has changed. I mean, back then there were no, like, action figures. That's something that's probably occurred, you know, since then. A lot of comic book stores have action figures, but, like, back then nobody really had figures.
So what brings you back? Obviously the closing. You come and check it out again?
Yeah, I mean, like, I heard about the closing. I think it's very sad that it's happening, but, you know, I'm here with my girlfriend. She's actually the reason I got back into collecting. I used to collect comic books when I was, like, you know, 13 or whatever, and, like, partially in high school, I kind of stopped at some point in the 90s, and, like, because of her, basically, I started collecting again.
That's very interesting. She's on a mission right now. I'll tell you, listener, if I could describe, she's got books. She's looking through multiple levels of back issues. How would you how do you describe the feeling of the store when you're coming in here?
I'd say it's very nostalgic. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, coming into like sort of like a basement space, like a step down or whatever, you know, just like automatically knew, you know, from the outside, you know, what it would be like in here, more or less. And, like, despite the changes from when I was a kid, you know, it's pretty much still the same place.
Right? Isn't that crazy? They told me that Brack's, like, 40 years old. They got an old rotary phone. Like, I don't think they changed anything.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
So coming back in here, did it take you back to being 13-year-olds for a second?
I mean, yeah, in a lot of ways it does. I'm just going to be, like, really sad to see this place go, even though I haven't really been here in so long.
No, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's kind of become, like, a landmark of this corner.
Yeah, it sure has.
Jockey Nerd! First name? What?
Ronnie.
And where are you from, Ronnie?
From here.
And how long have you been coming to Variety Comics? I've
been here for, I'd like to say 12 years coming on, but I had to stop for a few years because, you know, bills and all piling up. But I was surprised because last week a buddy of mine told me that Variety was closing, and I told him, is this a joke? Because, dude, it's, you know, they are the longest reigning comic store that I know by far that has been up. And then he said, no, seriously, look online, look on Facebook. And I was shocked. So I told my brother, if he had time, yeah, let's go and check what they have left, because I'm sure all the key books are gone.
Apparently, you still got a lot of things, though. So there's still good stuff here.
Apparently, yes.
Right? So,
as you can see, I have a few. But yeah, I guess I'll miss this store.
What do you remember the first time you came in here? What you felt? What the feeling was? What the experience was?
The first time I ever came here, because before there was a couple comic book stores along Western.
Yeah, there's still one over there.
Yeah, there's still one here. I think it's Dark Towers. Yep, before it was called Watchtower Comics.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Windy City.
Yeah, they had Windy City here before, yeah. And then Windy City moved out, and then Watchtower took over. And then they moved. I'm sorry. Mark bought the place, then it became Dark Towers.
Okay.
But I would, you know, hop from Dark Tower to Variety from time to time. But my first time coming here was really crowded, and I did not expect, like, well, I was like, whoa, like a an underground or like a basement kind of type. And I said, this is really low key. I love the place. But only probably took me about 20 minutes to just stay around and browse because, oh my God, I think it was comic book day.
Oh, is that why there was so many people?
And it was so many people. I was like, oh my God. I was like, I'll come back when it's a little quiet and, you know, from then on, you know.
What do you think makes this this shop special out of all the other shops?
What makes it special?
Yeah. I mean, you said you'll miss it. What will you miss about?
Great people. Yeah. The original owner. He was a really great guy.
So you knew Rick?
I did know him. Yeah, because you know when I used to come here. But he was a great guy. He helped me out on stuff that I needed and answered all my questions. But they had actually the stuff, like the older books that we do look for now. Mm. They had them compared to other stores.
What about that smell in here? There's definite, like, I like it.
Yes.
How would you describe it?
Oh, man, fresh book, like library.
Like, yeah, like or like a bookstore, yeah.
Bookstore, yes, exactly.
To me, the drawings outside is what I'm going to miss. Tell me about what those mean to you.
Oh, dude, the very first time I stepped into Chicago, this was 15, 16 years ago, because I grew up in California, I moved here because my mom, and then my aunt was driving me around, and I said, what is that? She said, oh, it's a comic book store. You have to take me there one time, and then it just, the mural just strikes you. You know it's a comic book store or something, so that is just, it's epic. Landmark. I hope they don't take it out.
So I honestly wish they would just leave it.
It would be for best. I would definitely say
the same thing. When I was a kid, dude, I knew to look for it. I knew it was coming up in the car driving by. Like there's Spider-Man, and it would always just make me happy.
Exactly. Same thing here.
You made friends here?
Oh, I made a very good friend here.
Really?
His name is Anthony. And ever since then, we've been good buddies, and we hit up Comic-Con every single year. We've never missed a Comic-Con since the day he introduced me to it. So 14 years straight.
Because of this store.
Yeah.
I love the wood paneling, man. It's like walking into someone's basement, you know? Exactly. It's very comfy.
Yes, right? Truly. So this is what I will miss, actually, because it does really resemblance a basement and like someone's... Just personal collection. So, yeah, I will truly miss this place.
Talking Nerd! Well, what is your name, sir?
Mike Nemeth.
And how long have you been coming here?
1986, when I got hired full-time, when I turned 26. Yeah, and I started coming here. I've been here, 29 years now.
Wow, every week?
Every week.
Mm-hmm. On Wednesdays?
On Saturdays.
On Saturdays.
Because I do a bike ride from Jefferson Park here, and then I do a little route, and it gives me exercise and something to do.
I think I saw you like a couple Saturdays coming in just like that in your biking gear. What are... you're a bike guy. Is there like a community here? You make friends coming here 26 years?
Not really. See some people here, regulars, but it's kind of like, I guess, coming to like an adult bookstore. You go in there, but you don't really get to know the people at the adult bookstore. Right?
Yeah. But I mean, it's got that old school, like the store has an old school feel still.
Yeah.
Like, can you describe the feeling of the store?
I used to always, it's not only the feeling, but the smell.
Yes.
When you come in here, there's that smell, the printing.
What is that smell? Like paper, ink, plastic?
I don't know. It's kind of like, I guess it's like Apocalypse Now when the guy says,
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Yeah.
But there's definitely an energy like in here when you come in here, which is why I wanted to like do this here, because I was like, the story is here. Like the story is a character.
Yeah. It's just a lot of, you know, fantasy, you know, and you can just come here and spend a couple dollars and escape. You can just escape, you know.
What do you read? What did you start buying when you first got a job and started coming weekly?
Marvel and DC. Yeah. You know, the regular titles, but I like the specials that they put on.
Well, what are you reading these days?
When they had Sweet Tooth, that was just a really good title. Remember that? That was like a miniseries. It was about a kid in the future, and he was like part animal, part deer, and part human.
Whoa. Sweet Tooth?
Sweet Tooth. Yeah, it was really good.
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, who's the artist for Sweet Tooth? Lemire? Jeff
Lemire. Oh, it's a Jeff Lemire book. Okay.
Yeah.
I love him.
He's great, isn't he?
Yeah. Have you read that Trillium series? Dude, that was amazing. Like, upside down, backwards, time travel. I love that.
Yeah, it was a little hard to read because the pages were flipped around and stuff.
But I love when... I kind of like that it made you work to read it. You know, it really got you into it. He made the reader work.
And who does that, you know?
It's just spoon feeding, you think. So how are you going to be sad when after this month?
Oh, sure. I won't have nowhere to ride my bicycle to on Saturdays anymore.
So. Yeah, where are you going to go? You got to find another store now.
It's nowhere to go.
Still come by here.
Yeah, I'll come by and look at the place slowly falling apart, you know. The murals outside, you know.
Yeah, so listener, this guy is buying, what are you buying? You're buying eight?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10. 11, 12, 13 action figures.
He's buying 13 action
figures. I have room for them. You know, it's luckily I can pay for them, you know. But it's like, but how can I pass up, a $10 action figure?
That's a good point. You're obviously going to just display them somewhere. Just have more things to dust, though. Like, I buy things and I'm like, I got to dust all these goddamn things. What am I doing?
I got besides my apartment, I got a 5x10 storage unit for my possessions, for my collectibles.
Oh, that's nice.
It's getting more expensive as time goes on.
Yeah. No, but this is definitely a great place. Like, I'm going to buy a bunch of stuff off the wall before.
Yeah, you can't. It's just like, you just have to, you know?
Wow. And I love that phone. Have you ever used that phone?
No, that's like the bat phone. Yeah. That's only in case of emergency, you know, like when Commissioner Gordon calls.
When the president calls.
Yeah.
I was going to say, is that connected to Obama? Can I call Obama on that?
When I was 35, I was like, oh, I can't tell anybody I'm collecting comic books, you know? And now it's like it's really hip to collect comic books and see superheroes and stuff, you know? So.
Yeah, it's weird. But at the same time, like stores like these... it's going to be an experience that people are not going to have anymore.
Yeah. It's weird. They'll be buying everything from Amazon.
That's it. I mean, I talked to someone in Houston, and I was showing them the books I bought off your wall. And he's like, dude, for me to find something like that, I have to drive like 40 miles to find a store. Like, they don't have stores to find back issues. Like, and I was like, that's why I have to buy them. Like, it's down the street, and that's going to be hard for collectors now.
Well, that, let everybody know that this is it. 3 more weeks. If they want to get some good stuff, this is the time to do it, you know.
You know, for me, one of the best things about having a comic book store to go to every week is getting recommendations about what's good that week, new titles that have come out, classic storylines that you may have missed. You know, these guys working here are like your geek bartenders, and Variety Comics, listener, is no different. Starting with this recommendation from Vic Alvarez.
Right. When I originally started reading comics, Rick introduced me to Jim Starlin. He said, read these Captain Marvel books. And then that's when I first read Thanos. Okay? So then, if anybody interested in good read, read the old Captain Marvels. I think it's 26 to 30. And then Warlock books, which were staying to... Okay. In it, there's a team-up between Warlock and Captain Marvel. I mean Warlock and Thanos. And then within that, the story ends up in the two Marvel... The two annuals, the Avenger annual and the Marvel team-up annual.
Okay.
Those were the classic ones.
Yeah.
Those for me are far exceed anything been written afterwards.
Jim Starlin.
Jim Starlin.
Yeah, Starlin is amazing, right?
Yeah, but yeah. Those things are the classic stories. But if you want to read anything after that, you know, with Return and Silver Surfer, yeah. Infinite Gauntlet, yeah. the Quest for the Gems, there's a small storyline where it came out in the 90s called Thanos. Jim Starlin wrote it. I think he did 1 through 8 or 1 through 7, and then I guess he got an argument with Marvel when he left the book. And then some Brown Lynn came in and it became crappy books. Oh, yeah. But in this one, he tried to become a hero.
How did he position him as a hero?
He was, like he said, he was bored. I want to do something different.
Oh, my God.
Well, the same thing he did with the Annihilus. Remember? He teamed up with Annihilus, and then when, who was it? Nova said, why are you doing this? Why are you being his lackey? You know I'm lackey. Yeah. I was bored.
Yeah, evil comes out of boredom, people. Remember that.
Talking nerd!
So what do you like? What are you into now?
Right now I'm reading a book called Southern Bastard. I don't know if you read that one.
Yeah, I've heard it's really good. Do you have all 9 issues here? I'll buy them. Or a trade?
I usually wait for the trade because I can't wait monthly for a book.
I would love the trade.
Right. I think we're sold all the trade already, but that book is pretty good.
I heard everyone says Southern Bastards is really good.
Because I read his other stuff. I don't know if you ever read this book called Scalp.
Who's the writer? Jason Aaron.
Yeah, he does Scalp for Vertigo. Scalp is amazing.
Really?
You know? Yeah. So Scalp is kind of like the Soprano on an Indian reservation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I like, you know, all those mobster gangster kind of stuff.
Crime. Yeah. I love straight bullets.
Yes. Crime stuff, Ed Brubaker, criminal stuff like that.
Greg Rucka.
Yeah.
Lazarus, I heard, is really good.
You see, so been here for a while. You pretty much read everything, you know. So the original Spider-Man run was pretty good. The first 20 was pretty good. But it's a different type of writing back then, though. You know, for example, now let's pick a popular book, The Walking Dead. Now, right? Yeah. You wait a month for a whole book. There's maybe you finish in like 2 minutes.
It's a quick read.
Yeah, it's like. I just paid $3 for nothing. It's like sometimes you just picture, low word bubble, picture, and that's it. Like, so it's like I said, it's depending on what you like. You know, if you like more art, you know, you buy for, you know, covers or whatever. You like more good story, then you... That's why I now mostly read independent stuff. That's where they have like more of a better storyline and stuff.
You're going to have to start buying comic books now, aren't you?
I might. I don't know. But then again, if most of them are crap, maybe you might just quit altogether, you know? Then there's always going to be recommendation from friends and stuff like that. You know, like, oh, this is good. Like I said, I never would have read Southern Bastard from one of my friends. Like, you got to read this one. You like Scalp? Read this one.
Yeah.
You know, so what's another one? Like the guy I was talking to you about, Sweet Tooth. That one is pretty good.
Okay.
That's like that's kind of like a Walking Dead post-apocalyptic kind of thing, but with like a virus that turns all the humans into hybrids, they call them. It's like half animal, half human, and the humans are dying. Only the hybrids are like surviving.
So you got to try to become
a hybrid to make it.
And eventually, down the road, all the humans gonna die now, and the hybrid's gonna be like the new dominant species or something.
Ooh, I like that. So do people come to you and they seem like. they ask you advice, obviously. Do they assume that you've just read everything?
Yeah, it's like, you know, there's always the same questions. Like, oh, I never read a comic book before, but where do I start? Like,
oh, shit, that's a hard question. How do you answer that?
No, like, you can't start. You can't just jump in. I mean, it's like you want to go back to the very, very beginning or something like that. And you have to buy, like, the original books, or it's going to be expensive, or like a trade or something like that. Or you just want to jump into something that just came out or something like that, right?
Well, do you think this when they're restarting everything at number one, is that going to help?
Right, but then it's going to be different. It's not going to be the same origin. Yeah. Like, that's what I'm saying. You can't explain these to people who never read before. Like, but they don't get that though. Yeah. So it's like, how you answer something like that, you know? Yeah. So it's like, there's a number one. Go pick. Choose your, you know.
For me, it was always like, just jump in now, and then you go back and you fill in the holes.
Right, like, and then it's something, oh, I haven't read for like 10 years. Where do I start? Like,
go back 10 years ago.
Yeah, so, and it's like, an event happens every season almost. Like, you know, Civil War, Secret Invasions, you know, whatever, you know. Yeah. It's like, so pretty much whatever is relevant is now, and then whatever is not, you know, past, they don't care about that stuff anymore. It's going to be a new universe or whatever, you know, so.
It's like, oh, look, this history that is sitting in the store, they're erasing it.
Right. So unless you, like, you know, want to continue week after week, then might as well don't even jump in. Or just read the classic, that's what I'm saying. You know, just get the trade back and read all the classic stuff.
As the day went on and I got to hear more great stories from the staff and customers of Variety Comics, there was a clear reoccurring theme amongst all of the stories. And that was the fond memories of original owner Rick Vitone. These guys clearly carried on his legacy and carried on his passion for the business and for comic books. What are some of your memories of Rick when you started coming in?
Rick would always give me advice that I never took. You know, he always give me advice and then he would just shake his head. You know, he'd just shake his head. But he did. You know, once I was asking him about some good war movies, he made me a whole list of like awesome World War II movies that he knew about. And he lent me his DVD set of the Prisoner. Oh, he was really into the Prisoner.
Yeah.
And Rick used to always make me go out when the parking mirrors were a quarter. He would always give me a quarter to put in the parking mirror so it would save him a couple steps.
That's good. That's good.
And help it out.
And the currency exchange on the corner here, he used to have me go and get a couple dollars, singles, you know, for him. And he was just lazy. You know, himself. He was a nice guy once you got to know him. He was a little rough around the edges, but he would just, he wouldn't take anything for anyone. You know, it was just, you know, get out of here, you know.
Yeah.
He was like, you know, once he had enough of you, he was like, get out of here. Yeah.
Rick was very crabby in the scheme of things, and with good reason, you know. I mean, comic book people can sometimes have their quirks and really just dig at you.
Yeah.
There is a certain etiquette, and if you didn't follow the etiquette, Rick might not have appreciated you after a while.
Well, that was the old school comic book store. I remember everyone I would go in, you were kind of afraid of the owner, and he was kind of mean, and he didn't want kids there, even though they sold comics. But, like, you went in anyways, and you just kind of, like, got used to it.
As a kid, I never had a problem with any of them, whether it was Rick or Joe Sarno or Larry. It's just the way you conducted yourself. If you weren't a pest or asked too many silly questions or what they considered silly questions, because it's a question they had to answer 50 times that week, then you kind of got along with them. Also, if you started spending money on a regular basis, they liked you as well.
And then I was in college at the time. I was 23. That's when he got hurt.
Yeah.
So that's when, you know, he was in the hospital for a while. So that's when I kind of took over, started running things for him when he was in the hospital.
Was that your idea? Did he ask you, or you wanted to be like, I'm going to kind of step up here?
Pretty much, because no one else is around, so pretty much I'm the only one, you know. So
you've been doing more of the day-to-day full-time.
Right, well, because even before that, me and Victor was helping him out, you know, doing the books and stuff, but not like full-time or anything, you know, like whenever we have time and stuff like that. But I remember it was like a Friday, he left, because he was like, you know, in pain or something like that. He drove home. I was already here because I was working that day. So I was like, close up and come in tomorrow. Like, okay. Came on Saturday. Like, Rick, where are you? Still not, you know. So don't worry, cover for me. All right. Sunday, same thing. Back then we opened 7 days a week. Oh, so okay. Monday also, same thing. Like, wow, okay. So what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
So and then after that, you know, he got sick. He was in the hospital. So I'm like, all right. no one's doing this stuff now, so I guess I have to step up.
Over,
yeah,
take up all this
because
stuff.
There's still, you know, people coming in. You can't just close the store down. It's comic book, so it's like it's weekly. You know, if you don't have their stuff, they're going somewhere else. Yeah. You know, the place falls. You know, so pretty much you already been doing it for a while. You already used the routine, so you know what to do already.
You don't even need him here, right? So. You knew how to do everything.
What did he pass of ultimately?
I think he had like kidney problems or something like that, and then I think he died from that. I think. Mm.
Okay.
Like dialysis. If he was on dialysis, that's kidney. Yeah.
He was on dialysis for I think a few months, you know, and then maybe he developed some kind of infection because, you know, auto machine hooked up to him or something like that.
Wow.
So. But Rick was different. Rick had a short fuse, you know. Rick was like, you know, if you don't like it, get out, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean,
that, I'm saying that was like the old school, like the, you know, comic book guy on The Simpsons exists for a reason.
He's like the embodiment of the guy because. I don't know if it's true or not, but they said they based the comic book guy in The Simpsons on him.
What? No. Listener, that's a huge scoop. It could be possible. I'll do some research, but I'm just gonna imagine that it is because that's awesome.
Yeah. Who knows, right?
Rick was the original comic book guy then.
Because he was always, you know, heavy set, stocky guy, always grumpy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like even like. Like, you have signs up there. If you bend it, you bought it. You know?
Bend it. It
you know,
says
that's,
you bend
that's
it.
That sign probably been up there for like 30 years or something like that, you know? So, so you know.
The headline of the story is, of course, Variety Comics, Chicago's longest-running comic book store, closing after 41 years. But for co-owner Vin, this has been his daily routine for the past 7 years. It was great getting to hear how much the store means to him and that growing up in a comic book store is about as pretty cool as you think it is.
So looking back your whole time here and when it's over, like, what has this store meant to you in your life and your... Just becoming who you are.
A lot. I mean, I wouldn't be who I am today if it wasn't for this place, you know? So, I mean, it changed my whole life, man. So.
What do you got planned for afterwards?
No plans yet, man. You know, we'll take it day by day. So
relax and just kind of hang out and...
We'll figure it out, you know, when we get there.
Do you want to open another store?
I don't think so. It's too much work, bro.
It is.
It's a lot of work.
And like we said, you can't just sell comic books anymore.
I used to love reading them, but when you actually own a store, you can't just sit back and enjoy them no more. Like, for you, it's easy. Yeah. You go home, you relax, you read a book.
This becomes work
because you have to know what's coming out, what's hot, you know. You know.
You have to speculate what people are going to buy.
Like the crappy stuff, so when people ask you, you know what's going on and stuff like that. The stuff you don't want to read, you know, even if you have it free sitting on your rack, you don't really want to read.
What are you going to take from here as a memorial? The phone?
My phone, yeah.
Have you ever used that phone?
No, I think it's in working order, though, because I've seen Rick use it before.
Oh,
but,
really?
Yeah, but that's like probably at least 10 years ago. So.
What's that $20 bill up there?
Oh, that's just when we took over. That's our first, I guess, dollar
you,
we made.
You
so,
and Vic?
Yeah, so we just posted up there.
That's nice.
Just a memento or whatever, you know. So,
you're gonna take the phone?
Maybe a Superman doll like there and the thing. Just little knickknacks, you know. So
I mean, I would think the phone has been here the longest, right?
Probably.
Out of everything.
And the rug, maybe. But the rug, I'm not going to throw that off.
No. Wait, this rug is 40 years old?
Probably.
Has it ever been washed?
I doubt it, no.
You said that rack was 40 years old.
Yeah, probably the rack's been here forever. Like, we have pictures of way, way back in the day of Rick standing right beside the rack and, you know.
In the 70s.
Yeah, so.
Wow.
That's when he was still young, you know, all black hair, everything, so.
Wow. So,
past 7 years kind of been routine almost, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Work, come, open the store, home, back to work, so.
Well, I got to say, you coming in here, you always had a smile. Every time I came in here, you were like, hi, and smile, and like it makes a difference.
Yeah, that's, like I said, try to be, you know, as personable as possible, you know.
Have you made friends with customers working here?
Yeah.
You think I hang out with them and still talk to them?
That's probably. That's why we probably going to keep the Facebook page, just to, you know, keep in touch with, you know, the rest of the regulars and stuff like that, and check in on them once in a while, see how they're doing and stuff. So,
this will be. Have you ever taken a break? Have you been working here constantly?
Constantly, never. I've been in
So it's been
2009, yeah, March of 2009. That's when I turned 23, because March was my birthday till now. So almost 7 years now. So it's crazy, right?
Yeah,
I was a young kid, still have all my hair, all the stress. I'm losing all my hair. See,
it's like being president, dude. Let me see. You have a photo.
Young Vinny.
Oh, look at you!
Look at all my hair.
Dude, so, nothing has changed.
No, see, that's
back over
there. Just
back over there.
So, see, that was over there. That's so pretty much there. The same posters and everything.
The posters are still the same. Oh, man. Yeah, so, like, this is, you grew up here.
That's right. It's crazy, right? I mean, the place is closing. There's really nothing you can do. So, you just have to move on, right? Mm. So, but you still have the memories with you. You know, it's always going to stay with you, so.
Yeah. I wish I grew up in a comic book store. Finally, I got to thank Rick's friend and staffer, Mike Denler, for helping me structure this show a little bit. Mike goes, I got a great story that you can close this whole show out with. And here it is.
Well, I have a number of good Ricky stories, but I think this one might be appropriate, especially being October and Halloween coming up and the store closing on Halloween. Yeah. Rick always said that he felt when he died, he would be welcomed into hell, or an equivalent of. Fellow was there to meet him. Welcome, we've been waiting for you. Goes down a long corridor, goes to a door, opens the door. He's ushered in the door. This is your place where you're going to stay at now, Rick. Okay. Goes in to the door, sits down. It's behind the counter of variety.
He's stuck there for all eternity.
That's what he felt was going to be his life after the afterlife, if there was such a thing.
Well, is that hell, though? That could be heaven, also.
Well, I'm imagining, if you really think about it, the books were probably all beat up, and he just, you know, or people just came in and asked him a lot of bad questions.
He stuck with books he couldn't move and had no control over.
Oh, that was regular life anyway.
To me, that's the perfect ending to this piece. I really want to thank the community of fine comic book geeks over there at Variety Comics for allowing me to hang out for the day and to record their memories and share their stories. I love meeting everyone there, and I hope you guys have enjoyed this little project of mine. I want to dedicate this episode of the Jock and Nerd Podcast to Variety Comics and to the fading memory of the old school comic book shop. Of course, I'm going to miss seeing the superhero illustrations on the corner. There's going to be a little less fantasy and fun on the corner of Western and Wilson in Lincoln Square on the north side of Chicago. But, you know, go visit your local comic book store today. Discover some new books. Make new friends. Visit your geek bartender. Keep them in business, folks.
For the geek kind. Top geek officials admit they underestimated the hipster's defense capability. Join the geek revolution and save the galaxy. Geeks from all over the globe are joining up to fight for the future. They're doing their part. Are you? Want to know more? Join We Be Geeks and the Geek Revolution and save the world. Service guarantees citizenship. Listen to We Be Geeks podcast on iTunes and Stitcher or online at WeBeGeeks.net. We Be Geeks, your voice for the Geek Revolution. Want to know more?
Doc and Nerd.
Well, listener, I hope you enjoyed that.
It's quite different.
Big episode 50, really different show for our 50th episode.
It's been an amazing journey. Again, I said thank you, but I'm going to say thank you again to everybody at Variety Comics. Thanks for letting us hang out. You guys are welcome on the podcast anytime.
Yeah, we got to get those guys on.
That guy Mike Denler has a great podcast voice. He could be our comics historian. He knows a lot.
Yeah. No, Vinny was cool. Mike, all of those guys were cool. So
yeah,
definitely love to have them on sometime.
And I wanted to thank Kristen Thomas also for writing that article for Chicago Tonight, WTTW writer, and for putting quotes from the nerd in there. That was, I mean, it's just like, it's cool. Now we get to add to this kind of small historical landmark of a store. Because, I mean,
it's documented forever now.
Yeah, this is, this is a very local show. It's a very local news story, but it's also very historic in terms of the dying breed of these comic book shops. Like, this is the last of its kind. In the beginning, these guys, it was Rick Vitone and the guys who started Atlas Comics and Larry's Comics in Chicago. They were kind of the forefathers of these kind of shops in the city. And these guys have kept it going. And so check out Variety Comics' Facebook page. Let them know what you thought of the show. You could definitely they'll be hanging out there and posting things. Yep. But for me, I don't know. I hope you guys enjoyed it. It was very creatively satisfying, and I was glad I got to do it.
Yeah, I wanna actually congratulate you, Imran, on the show, on your work. That was actually really well done.
I was nervous.
And a lot more than I had expected. So.
All right, good, good. I surprised the jock. That's
you
always good.
Me. I also want to, since we are at 50 and we started out the show by kind of reflecting on where we've gotten so far, I just want to thank personally all the listeners that have stuck with us through 50 episodes and have either listened to all 50, which is fucking amazing,
yeah,
or have listened to bits and pieces and are catching this episode. Thanks for coming on and listening to the Jock and Nerd podcast. Without you, there probably still is a podcast, but no one's listening. So
no, we appreciate every second you spend with us. Whether this is your first show, go subscribe, check out the others. Whether you listen to every show, man, Anthony's right. We can't thank you enough. It's been so much fun. Here's to 450 more.
Wowie zowie.
Because we got lots of content. Like you said, man, I got two more. We're like four episodes deep in, backup that I got to put together. So we're not going to run out of things to talk to. We're going to be here. Or people to talk to. It's been... it's been so much fun. So, as always, let us know what you thought of the show. You can send us an email, show@jockandnerd.com, or send us an audio comment via SpeakPipe. Just visit speakpipe.com/jockandnerd, or check the show notes at jockandnerd.com/50 for a link, and it's right there in your podcast app also.
You can also go on Twitter, jockandnerdcast, that's C-A-S-T after Jock and Nerd. Also go on to Facebook and look us up, and Clamor. Clamor, nice little sound bites, audio bites right down there.
Like we said earlier, we're also doing weekly live shows on Blab. So visit jockandnerd.com/blab, and you can see all our replays, and you can see our scheduled ones, and you can subscribe, follow us. But finally, Anthony, what were you saying? What do we tell everyone at the end, of course?
Well, you should just subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher.
Yes.
But most importantly, just tell a friend. Yes. How about that? Just go in their ear hole and whisper something.
Jock and Nerd.
Not really a whisper, but
I always
it works.
Hit the wrong button and I don't listen to your lead. Now, if you, or you could just carry a timpani around and do one of these. Jock and Nerd.
There you go. No, it's been great. You just tell somebody.
Yeah, just tell a friend. Spread the geekery around. Thanks for listening. This has been episode 50. I'm exhausted. I'm going to sleep for a couple of days.
That's what 50-year-olds do. They sleep for a couple of days and then you'll wait. Well, you might wake up in the middle of the night to pee a few times.
Oh, that happens. That happens during the show. So I'm already there. But we're gonna keep this podcast going. I mean, 50 episodes, man. I still can't get over it.
Yeah, right. I mean, remember when we were debating? We're like, should we do one a week?
Right? We were
is
like,
that too many?
Yeah, we're gonna promise two or three a month. And still, I've learned nothing. I'm still learning.
Yeah, we're still learning and we're still getting doors open for us that we never thought we would open. So.
It's going to be great. We got a lot of great things planned. Listener, thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging out. We'll see you next time. My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
And he's the nerd.
Peace out.